Prepare yourselves, Bucs fans. Unleashed from the corporate shackles of the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter is finally free to speak his mind. That's Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton himself. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented exclusively by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa on Fletcher, just west of 275, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership. The best ever summer sale event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Turn up the volume, put up your feet. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on at JoeBucksFan.com.
All right, back at the Ira Kaufman podcast. Good to be here again, live from One Buck Palace this time. And let me say, Ira, because we've had a lot of people asking, next month in September, your podcast will be available on various platforms that people are used to getting podcasts on, iTunes, things like that. Initially, we wanted to get people used to coming to JoeBucksFan.com to get your podcast where they can download it, and many, many, many people are. It's great to hear all the feedback, and of course, you can listen to it on the website or even open up a new window and listen to it while you surf whatever it is you surf. So, your podcast, Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast, and our brand new podcast, which is coming on Monday, which is going to surprise a lot of people and get a lot of juice.
So more exposure, Steve, more exposure. Nothing wrong with that.
More stuff coming. Your podcast is Tuesday, Thursday. It's your niche. We're going to have another separate Monday podcast with a big name and some fun stuff coming down. But just want to let everybody know that there will be more availability of Ira.
You never sleep, man. You never sleep. You're always got a business meeting lined up.
As my brother always says, I'll sleep and I'm dead.
So Warren Zevon used to say that.
Really? Maybe he stole it from Warren
Zevon. There you go.
All right. So here we are. Browns game, third game in the books. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are what it must be like to be a Browns fan, Steve. Now, look, you and I have laughed and almost cried over five straight years in a division basement. I mean, we know how rare that is. You never want to be in that kind of conversation in that kind of company. But here are the Browns. Steve, the Browns. At least the Bucs have a quarterback to rally around. A little bit of hope for the future. They've got some talented pieces. We know that. They were in a lot of games last year that they couldn't close out. But the Browns, as we were witness to, Steve, what an abysmal franchise. And then when you miss on a quarterback like they just did, again, it sets you back two or three years like the Raiders went through with Jamarcus Russell. It's almost a rule of football. If you use a first-round pick on a quarterback and you misfire, Josh Freeman comes to mind now in retrospect, it sets you back, Steve. It's hard to overcome that because now you're going into another draft looking for a quarterback.
Yeah.
So Browns fans have – they got nothing to look forward to, Steve. And Joe Thomas, I was watching him, a workman-like guy, a potential Hall of Famer. Steve, he could be in that room right in front of me voting for Joe Thomas years from now because he'll have eight Pro Bowls behind him and a guy that just never comes close to making the playoffs. You feel for somebody like that.
Yeah, and I think in the scope of the Buccaneers' victory, you hate to say it, and it is preseason, and there's minimal game planning. I hate the people who say there's no game planning. There is. If you don't game plan, that's a great way to get your quarterback killed. Okay, so let's not think that offensive coordinators don't do any prep to make sure nobody gets hurt, especially the quarterback. But it's not impressive because it is the Browns. Although you could say it's impressive, Ira, because last year the Browns came to our house in preseason and clobbered the Bucs.
Steve, when you're coming from where the Bucs are coming from, a playoff drought that is reaching ridiculous proportions. When you're coming from that, Steve, the first step in the road to recovery, beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's no small feat around here, as Buck fans will attest. You know, the Vikings were bad. They beat the Bucks. You know, the Jaguars have beaten the Bucks when the Jags didn't have much. Over the years.
Yeah,
remember that death knell game with Raheem, I think, was
coaching.
Yeah,
our listeners here, we know the misery too well.
Yeah, the misery index.
So you got to take that. You got to take what you got.
You take the early steps, yep. Beat up on the team. Now, Steve, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong here. I look at the Atlanta Falcons, week one. I don't care that the game's in the Georgia Dome. God knows the Bucs have played better on the road than they have at home the last two or three years. That's no factor for me. Who are the Atlanta Falcons, Steve? They're not a very good football team, I don't think. They got off to a quick start under a rookie coach last year and then came back to earth with a thud.
Well, see, this is I got to disagree with you, Ira.
I love it.
Because, look, I think if the tables were turned, if the Falcons were our team, we would say, okay, first-year head coach, they got off to a phenomenal start. He had them ready. They fell back to earth. But then they knocked off Carolina, who was undefeated, who wanted that 16-0. And they finished 8-8. We'd be doing cartwheels down Dale Mabry if we had a second-year head coach going into an 8-8 season with a franchise quarterback and the best receiver in the game and some additions. So I just can't look at the Falcons and think they stink. They've got issues on the defensive line, serious issues.
It's called no pass rush, Mr. Isbitz.
You got Dwight Freeney's a prayer. Now Vic Beasley's a bust. Adrian Claiborne's hurt. I mean, they stink. The Bucs should be able to pound that ball, which, of course, is the one thing we haven't seen in the preseason because you don't hand the ball to Doug Martin 20 times. I'm not scared of the Falcons.
They don't have anybody close to Gerald McCoy
or
Levante David in their front seven.
No.
They just don't.
No.
Now, that Waterloo, he's like a tackle machine, but he's making tackles 7 yards down the field. You know, he'll rack up 14 tackles, but they give up a lot of points. Steve, they have no pass rush. Zero.
I'm not saying this is a scary team. We beat them twice last year. A loss to the Falcons is, frankly, a step backwards after you just beat the team twice. But I don't think this is a bad team at all. I think
they're a beatable team.
I think the Falcons have every reason to believe they're at least an 8-8 team again, especially with Matt Ryan in the second year in that offense. Might be more comfortable, should be more comfortable. I like Dan Quinn as a coach as well. I like that whole Pete Carroll mindset he's bringing.
Now, I'm not disagreeing that Atlanta fans should feel that they should win game one. I'm not disagreeing with you about that.
I'm just saying,
but
you'd
from
be doing
a Buck
cartwheels.
Perspective,
you'd be doing cartwheels,
Steve. From a Buck perspective, especially going to Arizona in week two,
must win.
You know, you don't want to say that about week one. You don't want to say that, but Steve, this team has a history. Now, look, what's been the theme in 2016? Slow starts, but take it a step further and step back. Slow starts as a team in September have killed this franchise. This team doesn't go 3-1 heading into October 2nd. It doesn't happen. They shoot themselves in the foot, and then they're trying to catch up. Even last year it happened like that.
Yeah, and we've written about it on JoeBucksFan.com. I think the emotional health of this team, this whole right now is all about anything but 0-2. I don't think emotionally this team can handle an 0-2
start. With a new coach, that's right.
With a new coach and the fan base, no matter how irrational freaking out over 0-2 might be when you haven't played a home game, it just can't happen. We can't handle it because of where we've been. Your 5-year lease on the basement of the NFC South. So, I don't know.
You think the Falcons are decent, and I think they're below average. Let's put it like
that. I got
that.
You. Okay. Now, of course, next week, Ira, we're going to pin you down on your prediction. So just getting you ready.
I understand.
Next Tuesday, you got to put your things on
the
table.
And speaking about getting ready, and I'm sure you'll share my sentiment on this. Mr. Hargraves, get ready because Julio Jones isn't taking any prisoners in week one. And whether you're playing in the slot or whether you're playing on the outside and Werner's sitting on the bench, either way, Mr. Jones is going to come across your path. And I dare say you didn't face anybody like that in the Southeastern Conference. So
no.
Hargraves looks like he's not scared, Steve. He's off to a heck of a start. He's impressing a lot of people. But Julio Jones, and I think you're with me on this, along with Antonio Brown, 1-1A. I don't care which one you like better. You make the argument. Those are the two best receivers in the National Football League.
Yeah, it's a brutally physical, tough matchup for a week one. Even a Grimes going against him, and they'll move Julio Jones around for the matchups, and Hargraves will get his shot. You know they're going to throw him the ball probably 20 times.
You remember last year's game in the Georgia Dome, Steve? It
was sure,
the first
I was there.
Of the two games. The Falcons ended up playing a very sloppy game, and the Bucs ended up winning, I believe.
They gave it away, yep. Julio Jones had the big fumble.
Julio Jones was unstoppable. Steve, in the first half, I think he had 9 catches for 140 yards at the half.
Yeah.
Nobody could stop him. Now, Quan Alexander made a brilliant strip on him from behind.
And that was one of the plays that could end up being the best play of his career. It was that good.
That might have been the play of the year.
Against a Hall of Famer, which Julio Jones probably is if he's you know, keeps
but
at his
pace. But he just had his way. Now, the Bucs secondary looks a lot better this year, and so does the pass rush, Steve.
Yeah, and everybody's healthy. That pass rush is going to be everything to watch. But you know what Matt Ryan's going to be doing, some of those short drops. And you know, it's
a dump off to Devontae Freeman.
It's the beauty of football season. It's back. It's going to be a
But, Steve, they don't have a lot around Julio Jones.
No, I like Mohamed Sanu.
The tight end is kind of ordinary. Tammy, you know, doesn't scare anybody.
Come on, Ira. Kind of ordinary. What do we got here in Tampa?
But he's not Greg Olsen.
He's not Greg Olsen. But we're ordinary, too. Come on.
Yes, you are.
If he's ordinary, what do we got?
Yes, we are.
We got a Harvard man and a mental patient.
But Vincent Jackson's better than their number two when healthy, you would think.
Oh, absolutely. I like Mohamed Sanu as a signing. You know, and you know, it's going to be fun. It's fun. I'm glad we're there. But I'm glad we're talking about Falcons receivers, Bucks receivers. Dante Dye is gone now. Waived injured with a hamstring injury. So that means that if nobody claims him, they can bring him back or put him on injured reserve. There's different things they can do with him. IR designated to return. They can waive him injured again and then bring him back off the street. But this is a very thin receiving core. And what do you think's next?
Well, veteran depth, Steve, I don't think anybody can argue, especially with Lewis Murphy. We don't know. Veteran depth is not here. It's non-existent in Tampa. Will that show up on the field this season? I think it probably will because Vincent Jackson is starting to break down a little bit, not to mention he's not getting into the end zone like he used to.
I'll also add he hasn't practiced today or the day before. I'm sure it's not serious, but it's the reality of a 33-year-old receiver.
Now he's a very gritty guy, Steve, and I'm one of the – I remember in 2014, and you remember towards the end of a incredibly dismal 2-14 season, Steve, when everybody and their brother was going on injured reserve, Vincent Jackson, with a first-year coach in Lovie Smith, played out the string, even though he was really hurt in December. That showed me a lot about Vincent Jackson. So while he is breaking down, nobody can question his toughness, his physical toughness.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I guess what I'm saying is this, Steve, and you'll check me in a week, and I know you'll come back at me and slap me around if I'm wrong. The Bucs are going to pick up a receiver or two. They are going to pick up a receiver or two. Now, okay. Steve, let's be honest. Adam Humphries has done a nice job.
Absolutely.
He really has. He's, you know, to me, he had a lot to prove. And not only is he making catches – besides that punt return. But he's making them in high-volume areas, and that's what the Bucs are looking at. You know, anybody can catch a six-yard sideline pass. Humphries caught a couple of balls over the middle last week where he took good licks. That's what I'm looking for Adam Humphries. He looks like a guy that Jameis Winston has a lot of confidence in, Steve.
Yeah, a lot of trust, precision routes. He caught about 65% of what was thrown his way last year. He seems to be able to get open, find his spot in the zone.
You know, he's not Wes Welker. He's
not
never going to be.
He's not going to, you know, fill in for V-Jax as the number two receiver and open up the defense or anything like that. But he can catch the football. We're not worried about him on a great
team.
So
now you're worried about the fourth and fifth receiver, Steve.
Correct.
Is that the worst argument you got against the 2016 Bucks? Is now you're looking at the fifth receiver?
Hey, look, you've written a million times that this is now a pass-happy league.
It is.
So we've got a core of tight ends that's questionable. We got no fourth receiver. We got no depth. We got one guy breaking down and one guy, the number one guy.
I just answered you, Hizbits. They're going to bring in a guy or two.
Okay, but you're the same guy.
And that guy's not going to be named Roddy White.
You're the same guy who said Roddy White was foolishness.
I didn't say they're picking up Roddy White, my man.
Well,
don't misconstrue me. Don't.
No,
what,
I didn't.
Are you,
I didn't say
campaign
you were.
Manager
I didn't say.
There?
I didn't All say. Right. I don't. I mean, Roddy White's still on the street.
He is,
but
for a reason.
But you know how it is in the NFL. If you pick up a guy after week one, a veteran, you only have to pay him week to week. You don't have to guarantee that contract. You never know.
I understand. But I'm not telling you about the timing of it. What I'm telling you is. Before this season is very old, the Bucs are going to have a couple of different receivers because I'm not sold on Russell Shepard as a wideout. I don't think you are either. Valuable member. He's going to make my 53-man team. But as a wideout, you know, I know he made a couple of plays in the preseason, but he's got a long way to go. He's not polished. Reedy, he's got speed. So does 860 guys out there waiting for their turn for a job. It's shaky depth, Steve. I'm not arguing your point. But
and it's not a fun point. It's just we're talking about it. You were talking about the Falcons receiver not having a strong number two necessarily. Hopefully it won't be an issue. Really, as this team, this offense, I believe, goes as V-Jax goes.
I think it goes as the running game goes. I do.
Well, I mean, that's a given. You can't take a step back. You can't all of a sudden have Doug Martin 2014 show up. It has to be the same guy. And Charles Sims has looked very good in the preseason. I think Dirk Cutter liked your take, but I think he's gotten a better feel of how to use Sims.
Am I overselling Charles Sims in your opinion, Steve? I mean, I just think the guy, in retrospect, looks like a heck of a third-round pick.
Oh, no. I mean, gosh. Look, his first healthy season last year, he gets more than 1,000 yards from scrimmage. I mean, that's...
Who does that as a backup to a Pro Bowl?
Not very many. Very few.
And Steve, let's be honest. His rookie season, the guy's getting tackled in the backfield every time he gets the ball. So did Doug Martin. The line was horrible. I'm giving Sims a pass for 2014 in terms of running the ball.
You almost have to. I mean, the guy had ankle surgery in August. They bring him back to a garbage team in November that's burned out and fried. And you wonder why he's getting 2.25 yards a carry.
And you're saying, why'd they draft this guy?
Right. Yeah. I mean, he needed more time. He got it, and he proved himself. He's healthy. He looks good. And he's clearly a hungry guy.
If they can run the ball like that, Steve, and play off the play action, and I know you're a little down on the tight end situation, and there's a lot of questions to resolve. I do understand that. But, you know, certainly Dirk Cutter has Seferian Jenkins' attention. Steve, I agree with you that this is his last shot, but I wouldn't give up on him. Is Brate passable? Yeah, he's passable.
What cracks me up is, okay, he's got his attention. Congratulations, it's your third year in the NFL.
I want to see 60 catches. I'm sorry. I want to see 60 catches from Austin Seferian Jenkins. And I want him to play 14 or 15 games. That's what I want.
Yeah, he's got to play. I think, look, Brate can catch the football. We're going to see Luke Stocker all the time as a blocking option. And I think they're probably going to end up throwing him 20 balls this year. You know, I think he's lost some weight. And I'm not selling
Rob Gronkowski's not in the mix.
I'm not selling you Luke Stocker, but if you look in the relation to the rest of the NFL, what do we have at tight end? We're not much.
You got question marks.
In the NFL.
You got
pot.
Question marks. That's what
so,
you got.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, Ira. So, you know, we got a game, this crazy game tomorrow night, Wednesday.
With weather as
with
a factor.
Weather. And I just got to say, and it's something I'm going to write about for tomorrow morning on JoeBucksFan.com. They're going to play in slop tomorrow night, even though they move the game back. It's going to be wet. It's going to be likely raining.
And a bunch of backups.
You know, that's just a prescription for someone to get hurt. And I feel bad for the guys who have to go out there. The Akeem Spences, who are legitimate NFL players. The Will Golston's, the backups, who, man, they're just looking. It's just are you going to get hurt or not? It's,
and Steve,
it's tough.
Let's be honest. The patrons that go through the turnstiles at Raymond James Stadium on Wednesday evening, Steve, those are the diehards. Oh, those are the diehards.
Those are the
it
diehards.
Could be pouring, and they're watching a bunch of backups.
They're the diehards of the diehards.
You know, let's give them, you know, but Steve, we're not going to look down at those people. Those people bleed buck. And there's a core out there. We don't know quite how many there are. They all, you know, subscribe to Joe Bucks fans. No question about that. Now, look, you were at the game last week like I was. Steve, I saw a lot of empty suites. I saw a lot of empty seats and suites. Sooner or later, this thing's going to turn around. But, you know, the Lightning are going to practice next month. And Jeff Vinnick hasn't done a lot wrong in this town, Steve. And there's a love affair going on with this hockey team. Now, football's football, and I understand that. Never going to change in the Sunshine State. But the Bucks have to get their act together. And I mean on the field, because as Brian Ford has told you and me, he cannot control the scoreboard. All he can control is the price of concessions and the sound and the video boards. But, Steve, when that scoreboard reads, you know, Bucks 10, opponents 24, week after week, we got a problem.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't win 3 home games in 2 years and expect to start lighting up the cash register. You have to win, and you know, we can beat it. As it's just the reality.
I wrote
bottom
that
line.
This division, other than Carolina, which they're not going 15-1. I mean, that's common sense. So in a bad season, they go 10-6 or 11-5. You know, they're that good with that defense. But, you know, You know how I got Atlanta pegged, and New Orleans defense isn't any better.
Yeah, you know
than
what?
Atlantis.
I'm not worried about the division.
So
this team was
three. How about finishing second in the division once in a while?
It would be a tremendous accomplishment, and it would get people talking about the right things. And we'll talk about the prediction. It's going to be a fun one. The prediction podcast coming next week. All right, Ira, we'll see you on Thursday.
You got it, babe.
You've been listening to the Ira Kaufman podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.